Good morning, Symphony Church. Today we are closing out the book of Mark at long last, and we are closing that out with Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. And I'll read that for us. Mark 16, 14 through 20. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. All right, so today we see Jesus' last words to his disciples, his last command to them before he ascends to heaven to take his place at the right hand of God. It's a call to go into the world and to proclaim the good news of his kingship, of his death and resurrection, and the victory he brought over sin and death. Of course, you and I know this as the Great Commission. And though we talked yesterday as well about sharing the gospel, it always amazes me to think about how this command from Jesus, this moment between him and the 11 of his disciples, set into motion a chain of events that brought the church to where it is today. Think about it. We are reading a transcript of the conversation that is responsible for you and I being here, praying and worshiping the Lord together as Christians. And you have to wonder, how did it all happen? How did we get from a group of 11 ragtag disciples with limited resources, limited influence, limited everything, to having believers all across the globe that have learned of the name of Jesus and his power to save? It's a bit of a rhetorical question. After all, we have the book of Acts and a collection of the letters to the early church to tell us about how the Spirit moved in our predecessors. But even still, it's remarkable just how much God worked through these people. On the flip side, we also know that this commandment was, in a way, a death sentence for all but one of the disciples. We know that they would go on to run hard for the gospel and unashamedly proclaim Christ's victory to a world that responded in hostility. We know that they would go on to face persecution and ostracism, physical violence and systematic oppression from the very people that they were trying to save. And we know that all of them, save for John, would go on to be martyred for their obedience to Christ's call. So how do they do it? How do they manage to so successfully set in motion the spread of the gospel? And at the same time, how did they manage to persevere through the pain and the suffering that came with it? The answer, of course, is through God. Jesus didn't just send them on their merry way with a command to go, after all. If we look at our passage, he makes sure that the disciples understand that they would not be acting on their own power or strength. He says, "In my name, you will cast out demons and speak in tongues and pick up serpents and drink poison and heal the sick." It's nothing else but the authority of Jesus given to the disciples through the Holy Spirit that allowed for the faith to reach the nations. I mean, let's face it. If Jesus had left the 11 to their own devices, Christianity would likely have not made it past a couple new converts. You know, these were the same disciples that throughout the entire gospel kind of blundered through their ministry. You know, they were constantly acting out of order and being corrected by Jesus. And there were so many times where they were quick to act in a way that was counter to the spread of the love of Christ. And yet, they went on to do amazing things. And they went on to endure great things because they had Jesus. I say this pretty often, but Simon Peter is one of my least favorite figures in the Bible. Not actually, I don't hate the guy, but it's more like I roll my eyes every time I read about his antics in the gospel because it honestly reminds me a lot of my own self. Peter always talked a big talk, always made these grand declarations to try to win brownie points with Jesus, but time and time again, he would reveal that there was no foundation underneath his claims. He proclaimed that Jesus is Son of God, but he couldn't trust him to keep him safe as he stepped onto the water. He swore that Jesus would never be captured and turned over to death while he could help it, and yet he fled during Jesus' arrest. He promised that he would never deny Jesus, and yet he did 3 times before the rooster crowed twice. You know, imagine this same Peter hearing the Great Commission, thinking to himself, is it going to happen again? Am I going to end up just being a phony? And every time I think of Peter and how he goes on to win over thousands of people for Jesus in a single sermon, and how he becomes the rock that the church is built on, and how he leads the charge of the brothers and sisters of the faith all the way up until he's martyred. Man, I'm moved. It's such a beautiful testimony of how Jesus can move through imperfect, uncertain people. You know, our passage in the book of Mark in its entirety, it ends by saying that as the disciples went out and preached and answered the call, that the Lord was working right alongside them. For Peter, and for the disciples, and now for you and for me, Jesus is right next to us as we do his will. As we face the hardships of a life lived for him, our source of strength and wisdom and courage and peace is right by our side all the way through. The same Jesus who granted the disciples the authority to work miracles as they proclaimed the gospel grants us authority to work mightily as well. So as we fall more in love with him, and as we're transformed by the truth of the gospel, let's continue to rely and depend on him. Let's continue to do great things in his name and to be comforted by the fact that all the while, as we work hard, as we serve, as we sacrifice, as we lay down our lives for the world, that Jesus is right by our side. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, the Great Commission is something that I pray is at the front of our hearts every single day. Lord, I confess it's so easy for us to live a selfish Christianity, to live a life that is just about enjoying you and growing in our spiritual discipline, all the while ignoring your call to spread the good news. Lord, help us to be messengers. Help us to be messengers that are transformed by our reliance on you. Lord, it is a hard thing to take on, and I pray for those of us who may feel like we're lacking, who may feel like we're not ready, who may feel like maybe this call doesn't apply to me because I'm not confident enough, I'm not well-spoken enough, I'm not intelligent enough. But Lord, you worked through the disciples, you worked through a people who were not the cream of the crop, but they had faith. And so Lord, would you help us to have that same faith? Would you help us to be confident because we have authority in you, through you, Lord? We bless you. May you move mightily this year through each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.